The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Murie. This is Erin Green sitting in for Mr. Murie this morning. It's Wednesday, the 13th of August, 2025. Welcome, welcome. So this morning, I've got some guests coming into studio. I await their arrival. Two young women in the country who have taken up the work of women's rights advocacy. What's interesting about their work is it's from a definitively Christian perspective, right? And so I'm interested in this conversation this morning because I'd love to talk with people who do women's rights work from a Christian perspective, but also these two young women, Ashley Hannah and Crystal King, are part of the Lead Her initiative, and they, over 2024, co-authored or co-wrote a series in the Nassau Guardian called Breaking Chains, addressing women's rights issues from a Christian perspective. And so I am awaiting their arrival in studio so we can talk about their work, the organization they work with, their current initiatives, and some of the issues that they addressed in the Breaking Chains series in the Nassau Guardian over 2024. Before we get there, before they arrive in studio, I got a couple of articles that I wanted to touch on that may be relevant to our discussion. Well, I'll tell you what articles are. National Tripartite Council still discussing livable wage. Global Role, we want views of public on maternity leave. Public consultation on the issue of maternity leave is set to begin. And then I've got two other kind of non-related stories, but are also very interesting. And maybe we pick one of these up until our guests arrive. Here is a headline. Arawaki Association President, concerns about structures being built in flood-prone area. This was in yesterday's Tribune. Yesterday's Nassau Guardian. Arawaki Association President, concerns about structures being built in flood-prone area. Rodney Russell, President of the Arawaki Conch Fish, Vegetable, and Food Vendors Association, is warning the developers of two structures on Arawaki Beach that where they are building is flood prone, and they are at risk of losing their investment. He said that the two buildings located on the eastern end of the fish fry are, quote, almost in the water, close quotes. And there are concerns the developers did not receive proper approval for their construction. The first building is a two-story structure. The second is a three-story structure, just south of the first one. Quote, I have no idea who is building it, but it looks like they are not working too fast on it. They started building about 2 months ago, and they should have been finished by now. They have come to a complete stop, it appears, close quotes. Craig DeLancey, Deputy Director at the Ministry of Works, said that the owner of the three-story structure was given notice to stop construction and to tear down the structure several weeks back. DeLancey said he has not been able to get a notice to the owner of the two-story structure as yet. Russell added, that's Ronald Russell, president of the Arawaki Conch Fish, Vegetable, and Food Vendors Association, added, quote, I have no idea what it is supposed to be, but it almost certainly can be a restaurant. The thing about it is that come October, that area gets flooded. The waters run from there across the road over into Arawaki, and it brings a lot of sand with it. A lot of debris comes with it as well. It's so bad in that area that the jet skis are not able to launch. It happens twice a year, in March and in October, close quotes. Bahamians on social media have expressed concern. Who could have given permission for the developers to build so close to the water? Russell continued, quote, I don't know what their plans are, but I know one thing. They have to readjust or come up with some new plans, close quotes. That's the end of the article as I copy and pasted it. And numbers to call 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720, toll free for family island listeners. Text line 422-GR96, that's 422-4796. So, I'd like your feedback. After reading this, I'd like to put on the table that perhaps, the shanty town issue is a Bahamian problem and not a Haitian problem. The numbers to call 323-6232, 325-4259, 242-300-5720, toll free for family island listeners. Is the shantytown problem in the Bahamas a Bahamian problem or is it a Haitian problem? Going back into the article, well, I see there's a caller right there. Let's go and let's see what the caller has to say. Producer, let's prep the caller. Thank you. Good morning, caller. Good morning.
I don't want to become into a chronic caller, but your show seems to be so interesting. You know, you have to call in and try to be here.
No, man, and that's the. I want other people to alter. My opinions are strong, but I want other people to weigh in too, man. Yes, absolutely.
Very strong, though. But they can't say you're not correct. You're strong, but you're correct. But this is a Bahamian problem, Eric.
Mm-hmm.
This has Bahamian written all over it. You know, because if any ordinary Bahamian wants to apply for a work permit for someone without having any political or other social connection to these authorities, you have to follow the guidelines and prove to immigration that you have a housing for these individuals.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the start of it. So this proliferation of shanty towns throughout the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, this is a government-corrupted problem.
Now, okay, hold on. I just before I can let you go forward. Now, you say government corruption. I'm going to say, let me be conservative and say it's a government incompetence administrative crisis problem. Continue.
I would have called it incompetent if a Bahamian were to be constructing a wall and planning or physical planning, don't approach them and ask them for a work permit. But that's how it is. If you right now want to try to construct something without having any connection, someone will visit you. Mm-hmm. But to find out whether or not you have a work permit or you have the proper documentation to do this. And it isn't being happening. Watch the last pandemic. They were flying these people all around, putting them in housing, putting them in hotels at our expense. Then the government know, in order to bring someone in the country, one of the primary requirements by immigration is you must have living accommodation. Now, why are they allowing this proliferation of shantytowns? To the disadvantage of Bahamians, because these individuals, while they can save 90% of their salary. Mm-hmm. The average Bahamian who have to find housing have to spend 90% of their salary to maintain their basic lifestyle. And it shouldn't happen in the Bahamas. It should not happen where you bring an immigrant and you give them an unfair advantage over Bahamians. It should never happen.
I agree with that. And the most developed and the most progressive countries, like a country like Singapore, has a system that welcomes and integrates foreigners. But the way that they're set up, there's no way that a foreigner could live better than a Singaporean, even though foreigners enjoy an excellent quality of life.
I'm not suffering from this thing. Wouldn't call it xenophobia or stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't have that. I'm talking. We are trying to understand something here. But let me show you how backward these leaders have been over the years.
All right. Then I get another caller. Okay.
I'll leave with this one right here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, our grandparents and great grandparents, they had a proper arrangement with the United States of America. Then they call it the contract days.
Mm-hmm.
They welcome persons into the country, but they had to be vaccinated. They had to have proper housing, and they had all of the things in place. If it wasn't just, no, you come in illegally, and we house you, and do that. It didn't work that way. So they could use that template, that contractual template, and have a proper work exchange. But they chose to be corrupted, and not only that, they've invited them now into our voting process, but they're now able to vote.
Now, okay.
They're voting today.
Okay.
But they will definitely be running tomorrow, and they're going to lose this country forever. Stupidity of our leaders.
Thank you for your contribution. Remember, only citizens could vote. So the question is not whether people who are not citizens are voting. That's not the question. Another thing I just want to say as we go to the next call, I'm coming quickly. By allowing the problem to be described as a Haitian shanty town problem, we obfuscate or ignore the fact that Bahamians are also having difficulty finding adequate housing. It is a housing crisis that is exacerbated, right, by I don't call it irregular, but a poorly constructed migrant labor program. Like the last caller said, why can't we have a similar process like what we know as the contract that our forefathers participated in, right? A structured labor program. These are important things that we need to talk about because we understand why people are feeling the way they're feeling, why they're using the language they're using, and why they're expressing their concerns the way that they're expressing it. My guests have come into studio. I've got another caller on the line. Let's take this caller, and then we're going to transition to our guest. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. I'm sorry you call us. So we were reading briefly from the article, Iraqi Association President Concerns About Structures Being Built in Flood-Prone Area. I got lots of questions, but we're going to get back to this story at another time. On the other side of the break, I have joining me from the Lead Her Initiative, Ashley Hanna and Crystal King. We're going to be talking about some women's rights issues from a Christian perspective. Guys, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
You try to roll with the best for all your printing needs. There ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. I've got two young women in studio with me today, very accomplished women. They spent the year 2024 penning a series of articles in the Nassau Guardian under the title. And we're going to be talking about their work, the Catherine Florence Initiative, the Breaking Chain series, any upcoming events, and what's next for this powerhouse. But before we get all of to that, I have to, first of all, I have to say, you can see I'm a little excited. I have to say good morning to Dr. Dolly King. I thought she's come into studio this morning, but that's okay. I brought the Gneps for you, but that's all right. And then I hear my guests this morning again are Ashley Hanna and Crystal King. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Right, I see y'all didn't bring Dr. King with you, but I hear she's up. She has important business this morning. I hear she's troubling my cousin. How my cousin doing? And this is important because I need y'all to understand something. My cousin is 107. She is 107, right? And these people troubling her. I mean, maybe it's not trouble, you know. Maybe they just want to be around her. Maybe they just want to make sure she's okay. Maybe they know people is be bringing her fruit every day through the summer and they want peace. A Gnep or mango or something, sour sop or something, sugar apple or something. But Miss King, say good morning to our cousin, please.
Good morning, Mavis. She is the Catherine in Catherine Florence. She is 107 years old as of July that just passed. And you're absolutely right, but you got it wrong. More like she causing the trouble. She just gave me sugar apple the other day. She told me, said, I've been in England too long.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to eat a couple of them because she didn't know what kind of fruit they was giving me over there. But she tell me it making me poo. Now, I don't see where I poo, but according to her, I need to eat some more of them sugar.
She understands. She knows because when you wake up in the morning, I was in school in England, I wake up in the morning and somebody said to me, would you, you know, I got excited. I could smell the grits and the tuna and I was waiting for the pear. And they bought me an anjou, a bosque pear, an anjou pear, right? And they cut it up with a piece of apple and I look at them and then I remembered I'm a Bahamian and I'm away from home, so I smile and I said, oh, this is the type of pear you meant. Mm-hmm. No, thank you very much. And then I suck my teeth quietly and I go about my business. So your great Grammy know what she was doing? Okay, ladies, please introduce yourselves. Tell us about the Lead Her Initiative. That's what you guys were here discussing last time.
Yes,
and then tell us about the Catherine Florence Initiative.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, I'm Crystal King. I am the president of the Catherine Florence Initiative. A bit about myself. Let's see. I just handed in my thesis for the University of Cambridge. I am temporarily free Emphasis on temporarily.
Don't let your grammy hear that. She'll put you in university right now. All right.
And the Lead Her campaign was what we launched last year. It was in response to us seeing some unsavory comments about a child that was sexually assaulted in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And so we decided that we needed to reintroduce women's rights in the Bahamas, a way that turned the conversation from gender wars and brought the conversation back to what it should be about, which is the things that women in the laws that should be put in place in this country that accurately reflect the needs of the women that live in this country. And we decided we would tackle it from a biblical perspective.
Okay.
And I will let our resident biblical expert, Ms. Ashley, conquer that bit.
Okay, well, good morning, everyone. My name is Ashley Hanna. And I am a recent graduate from New York University.
Okay.
I have a background in English and American literature. And for the Catherine Florence Initiative, I am the co-founder.
Okay.
I remember back in 2023, I believe, we sat down and we heard about some really unfortunate cases to do with sexual assault.
Around November 2023.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we, Crystal and I, were sitting down and talking about, certain laws that we wish were put in place to protect the rights of women and young children.
It's okay, Ash. We on our cousin show. We could tell. We was ranting. We was mad.
Yeah, we were angry. We were very angry. And we talked about the fact that, you know, I guess in order to reach the public, we should probably use mm-hmm. a method that we were both privy to using for our research and our, you know, academic studies. So we decided to, you know, go to the written word
mm-hmm.
We published our first article in February of 2024.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided that the best way to bridge the gap between, women's rights and where we are as a country is through a biblical lens, mm-hmm. Which is why our first article was on gender roles from a religious perspective.
First of all, it makes sense because Bahamians speak Bible.
Right.
They use biblical metaphors and allegories,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the most common language because just like English,
mm-hmm.
because most people from different countries also speak English.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, in the Bahamas, we all speak Bible.
Definitely.
Yeah.
For sure.
Now, before we go forward, Ms. King, what was your thesis? What's the title of your thesis?
So before I answer that, let me preface by saying in my undergrad, I studied law.
Okay.
And in my master's, I studied international relations. So in my undergrad, the type of law that I focused on was international human rights law, international criminal law, and international humanitarian law.
Okay.
And then in my master's, I decided to take an interest in small island developing states, the rights of minorities and the disabled. And for whatever reason, the Dr. Dolly King that sits inside me
mm-hmm.
couldn't let the military go. So I took an interest in that. And so my dissertation was a culmination of all of those things I just listed. So I did a critical analysis. I can't tell you the full title of the thesis until it's cleared for me to say that, but it was basically a critical analysis of U.S. military bases in
this
country.
That's okay because, we have this little anecdotal thing
mm-hmm.
here
mm-hmm.
that we don't talk about very loudly, mm-hmm. right, mm-hmm. where people say, women are the most attractive. but some of the uniformed men are not as attractive as they appear at first, if I could just say it in old people speak. But then the second thing is this, Miss Hannah, mm-hmm. you studied English and American literature, right?
Yes.
And I thought about the ways in which reading, not just the literature itself, but the way in which we read it reinforces certain messages, right?
Absolutely.
Like the way in which, it's not the necessarily the thing itself, but the way in which we reinforces
yes,
particular
ma'am.
Messages,
definitely.
Right?
Yes,
and then in on the other side, Ms. King, the way in which we read authority, particularly people in uniform, the way in which they read authority causes them to interpret mm-hmm. right, authority mm-hmm. in a particular way that causes some people to lose course.
Yes, definitely.
Ma'am. Absolutely.
All right. Okay. So let's get back to the first article. I think I have it here. Breaking Chains, the Re-Education of Equality and Women's Rights in the Bahamas.
Yes,
22nd of February, 2024. Mm-hmm. And let me get this. Through selective interpretation of biblical passages, certain factions perpetuate antiquated notions of gender dynamics.
Oh boy.
Thus perpetuating cycles of psychological and physiological trauma that reverberate notions of gender dynamics. Oh, sorry, that reverberate through generations. The intergenerational transmission of trauma underscores the urgency of addressing this deeply entrenched issue. Right? That made me think, it's not that y'all are not saying that the Bible is wrong.
No, ma'am, it's not.
Right? But the way that we read it mm-hmm. reinforces negative things, and that we could read it in a different way mm-hmm. that reinforces positive things and actually heals as opposed to re-traumatizes.
Yes,
is
ma'am.
That a good summation of what it was, what it is y'all are doing with the series?
Yes. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Absolutely.
It definitely is. And I can speak to it, like you said, from a literary perspective. Lots of people tend to do close readings of these scriptures. And a lot of the time, when you're doing a close reading, you need to be able to put a quotation that you're pulling from scripture in its context. And contextualizing these scriptures is something that escapes certain people sometimes, because mm-hmm. they tend to pull parts of scripture that fit their own personal views, beliefs, and agendas without mm-hmm. reading the entire scripture and seeing it in its, you know, in what it actually is, I mm-hmm. should say. So I definitely, we tried to examine these scriptures in their cultural contexts. We tried to examine these scriptures from a literary perspective, from a formal literary perspective as well, to make sure that we were giving a full and transparent picture of what we wanted to speak about for gender roles
mm-hmm.
Specifically, and for all of the articles that we had done generally, because we did gender roles, marital rape.
Oh, no, I have a list here. Hold on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like I said, the first one was the introduction of what the series is about, the re-education of equality and women's rights in the Bahamas,
mm-hmm.
Then challenging gender roles through a biblical lens.
Yes, right. Ma'am.
Then a brief discussion on consent and rape.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then the silence of the vows, unveiling marital rape in the Bahamas,
mm-hmm.
and then the continuation of the discussion on marital rape that followed that, right?
So
right. I think in November, and then Breaking Chains, Final Reflections on the Abortion Debate, 8th of May. So you, right. you guys covered a lot of topics.
Yes,
without, ma'am. Without a doubt. I was just excited when I heard it. Okay, so has your audience been receptive to the way in which you've approached these conversations?
Yes, okay. I want to give full credit to a particular group.
Mm-hmm.
Young boys under the age of 18. I have to give them a shout out on here. Tiago, Kai, Timothy. Because they enlightened me a few weeks ago about the way that they interpreted the articles and the way that they understood the things we were discussing, and then how the conversation carries on amongst them and their friend groups. And I thought to myself, my God, that wasn't even the group we were targeting. But I'm so happy that it landed with them, because the thing is, they don't disagree. And he said something to me, a young man, Tiago, he said something to me. He's one of our volunteers. He said to me that, he said, you know, Crystal, you know, there's a little bit of ego involved when people read these articles, because you immediately feel attacked when the articles have absolutely nothing to do with you as a person. They're simply discussing things as they are. And mm-hmm. as much as me and Ashley had been on the radio discussing that and saying that, it hadn't hit us until he phrased it in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, the articles landed. I mean, okay, in the beginning, it was a little bit of a rough landing. In the beginning, we definitely had certain groups and people reach out and try to discourage us from writing and say very unkind things. But I think that's just, it comes with growing pains.
Mm-hmm.
People don't like when you say something that goes against the quote-unquote narrative. But here's the next thing. Interestingly, the minority in this country is the loudest when it comes to when it comes to attempting to push certain viewpoints. Mm-hmm. And the majority, because we've made certain subjects taboo, particularly issues around women's rights, because as far as we're concerned, women already have rights, we need to move on. So we've made certain things taboo. So when you now conquer those issues, it sounds like, oh, well, why these children going off to school, now they come back and they're repeating nonsense from the university. And, you know, so there was growing pains. Mm-hmm. But it's landed far better than I could have ever imagined.
Mm-hmm. And I would say that, you know, despite the fact that controversial to mm-hmm. some people, we have had a lot of positivity come out of it. I think that people have been very supportive over the course of our journey with writing. We've gotten a lot of, you know, constructive feedback from people who want to help us to grow in our writing as well, which was, you know, really helpful and great. At first, especially, I mean, we've learned each other's writing styles. We're growing together as a team while we write, and it's a labor of love, but it's really good work. Mm-hmm. And we're motivated to continue to write.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also the goal was to start a constructive conversation. The goal has been achieved. So,
but listen, I'm so glad I'm having y'all on in Newry's Hour. I'll tell you why, because Mr. Newry, host of Guardian Radio AM, he quotes from Animal Farm a lot.
Yes, he does.
Now, I didn't read Animal Farm as a part of my curricula at QC, but he did, at SAC, school he went to. And I realized that, you know, when people talk about Animal Farm, it's like they read it as if it's truth, as opposed to something, a tool to be used to interpret and right? And so I realize it's how we read Animal Farm in school that caused it to be like a literal tool, as opposed to reading it in another way that would make it a like transformative tool, right? And then I realized that many people are reading the Bible in the same way, right? And it's like I said, it's not the Bible itself. It's the way, maybe the way you've been introduced to it, or the perspectives that help form your under it, or kind of like you said, the context that you have available when you're reading it that may cause you to have a particular position, not just about how, what's in it, but what it is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I find this conversation exciting, that young people are having the conversation, and then y'all, I don't want to say struck a blow. Because I don't want to replicate that kind of violent, combative language, but that you found a space and you occupied it. And that with every breath that you take, every stroke of the pen, you open that space that you occupy, not just for yourself, but for other people, right?
Yes, ma'am.
To inhabit it. Okay, so of the issues that you approached in the series, which one most controversial you think?
Mm-hmm.
Which ones, like, maybe we think are the most controversial but actually aren't? And which ones you think are the most important ones to be extended? Because like you say, like the young people, the under 18 said, right? Like there's a disconnect. Mm-hmm. The language that advocates use is not the language that people live.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And as an LGBTI advocate, you know, the first thing I tell people is, look, the gay people, they don't identify as lesbian and bisexual and gay. That's not the language they use to describe themselves. Right. Mm-hmm. That's it's advocacy language. Right. And it's for a purpose, just like the term cis. A lot of people, when they hear cis woman, they get upset. They say, hey, I'm a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been a woman. I don't understand where the cis came from or why it's necessary. And then you have to say, well, CIS, cis, that prefix is actually, and it was constructed for a medical purpose, right? And that language has been adopted into a space where an advocacy space, but people don't use that language to describe themselves in their ordinary lives, right? And so which issue you think is most controversial, because sometimes as advocates we miss the target, and mm-hmm. we're not focused on the issues that people in the community are really focused on.
Mm-hmm. So, I think for one, it seems as though the topic that is that has been most controversial that I can definitely speak to is the abortion debate. Mm-hmm. The abortion debate seems to be extremely controversial.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree, Crystal?
I would, but I think marital rape has angered more than abortion because... Mm-hmm. So,
okay, watch this. I think that we understand how difficult the decision is for the person.
Mm-hmm. In terms of an abortion.
Yeah, in right. terms of an
Definitely.
Abortion.
Definitely.
And so there's like an empathy... Like, sometimes we may sit back. Sometimes we may not... Like, we may not agree with it,
mm-hmm.
but we cannot ignore the circumstances that are real in today's world that mm-hmm. would cause someone to use that option.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, okay.
Mm-hmm.
When Ashley and I first began thinking about writing an abortion article, we riddled it with empathy because the reality... And we concede in the article that abortion is... essentially the taking of a life.
Mm-hmm.
No debate should be around whether or not abortion is taking a life, because that is fundamentally what it is.
Okay.
We didn't argue for or against abortion. What we argued was for empathy around the conversation around abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Because so often it comes from a place of, oh, I don't like you because you a child murderer, or oh, I don't like you because you think you could take away my right to choose. And I think it's far too nuanced for us to keep trying to put it in these black and white lists and ask Ashley. Nothing peeves me more than when people take complex situations and try to put it in a black and white box. Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't, so you shouldn't either, and vice versa.
Advocates had framed the conversation as pro-life and pro-abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no space to be anything else.
Yes. But I want to give credit to the advocates that came before us and tried to fight this issue, because they framed it in that way. And it's not that the conversation wasn't open at the time. They didn't. Ashley and I are privileged enough to be discussing these things 2025.
Mm-hmm.
After women already have the right to vote, property ownership. We have all these different things in spaces, occupying spaces in the workplace.
The social contracts have changed. Ma'am. Women can
Definitely.
Occupy so more space in the public.
I don't want to knock advocates in this country in particular that came before us and that argued for it in black and white terms, because they were limited in how they could argue such a thing at the time.
The dynamics of the day presented constraints that they could not work around.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes,
exactly. And in spite of those constraints, they were able to get unprecedented change in this country. We had no bloodshed in a lot of things in this country that I think we take for granted.
Yeah.
So as much as I don't like the black and white of it all, I completely understand it.
All right, producer, let's prep this call. When I came to that conversation, I thought, but listen, as an advocate, I'm pro-choice. Mm-hmm. I need to support a woman and a family mm-hmm. in making the choice that's best suited for them.
Right.
And if I am personally pro-life, then I can work to create the conditions. I can work to create the conditions that make it less likely for a woman to choose or have to choose abortion as an option. So I'm going to let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. You need to bring them back. You got to bring them back and see if we can get back on this topic, because I don't know what better word. I mean, I know you get a better word, but it makes a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I understand a little bit what you're saying, and I could be lost in some things. But you know, you talk about the older folks. Let's say the gay folks then wasn't able to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Be said speaking now.
Yeah.
Me as a person who ain't gay.
Mm-hmm.
Who I accept the way how they was dealing with it. I know it was always room for improvement, and they had to get better and louder, right?
Mm-hmm.
But with respect, I don't see the gay and other courses, or let's say trans or something like that,
mm-hmm.
that's the same. Maybe some people might say, I mean, maybe they are the same, but I don't see it that way. Those what we know as gay, I feel like we extort us, our nieces, our brothers, our sisters,
mm-hmm.
these other set, what come in with the other rest of letters and stuff like that, especially what you call the trans, is like, they doing something with some of us might consider crazy or will get some people upset. I agree with the lady, the marital rape was the most hardest topic, I think, in the country. So the last times we was talking about it,
mm-hmm.
you know. But, oh, boy.
Well, let's start here. I can bring them on regular then.
Huh?
I can bring them on regular.
At least to finish this, what they're talking about, because it's so much to touch and stuff like that. But, you know, I just feel like we need to accept each other and let God, you know, we have God to answer to. As long mm-hmm. as we do things respectfully, that's the bottom line. But bring them back again, because there's so much to touch.
Yeah, I think regardless of orientation, we first of all, thank you very, very much, Papa. Thank you very much. Thanking you was more important than that thought in my head. What you said was great. For the trans versus gay issue, right? So there are two things. Like, at the root of it, some of the issues are entirely different, right? Like, for Bahamians looking in, right? There's a question of, what you mean you don't want to be what God made you?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, people have say, well, look, I know that boy from, he's a seedling. He always seemed a little queer to me. Maybe he was born that way. And when they say, but the trans issues, they say, but God made you this way, right? Like, in that space, the issues are slightly different. In the advocacy space, though, the issues are the same. That people are people, and they have a right to a life free of violence. And they have a responsibility to moderate themselves and govern themselves so they don't unduly harm other people, right? Like, that's our obligation in the world. We have, and our right. We have a right to a life free of violence, right? And that's where the gay issue and the trans issue is the same. You don't need to understand me. You don't need to see the instructions from the manual to make sure I'm doing it right. Understand, and if you're a Christian, if God made everything in the world and everything has a purpose, then just know that God made me, and I have a right to a life free of violence. And I will remember that I have an obligation to the space that I occupy. That's it. Let's go to the next caller quickly. Good morning, caller.
Yes, Ms. Green, I was saying...
Oh, sorry, you're still there. Go on.
Ms. Green, the trans them are saying that not because you're a female, born with female parts, makes you a woman. And these ladies, them, they're here to represent women. So I wanted to know if their opinion would it be in agreement with what the trans... I know you say we don't have to understand and just leave them in their space to do what they got to do, right? But it kind of is a complicated or confusing, problematic in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
Does a female make you a woman, or
right? Like,
a female,
what is it that makes you a woman, right? But let's put it here, okay? Let's
talk about the Bible and Christianity just now.
I know, and I guess so the way I would approach this from a Christian perspective is to say that I don't need to know what a person is or who a person is to be prepared to engage them with respect.
Yes, you got to give them love and respect. But this is the same problematic crew I told you about, the trans them. They are pushing it. And I don't think it's fair.
Okay, Papa.
Complicated confusion, not just on a Christian perspective, but for young people, even if they decide to go that way to be gay or what.
I appreciate what you said. Let me end it. Let me sum it up. I see, because what's represented there is a concern that the order of things, say this all the time. If I, as an individual, do not know exactly how I'm straight, like the chemistry of it, mm-hmm. right, the biology of it, if I don't know, right, and I face temptation and I made it through the storm and I'm still straight, and I'm raising these children now. And the world has changed, and there are even more threats, and there are more stimuli, and more everything. Then some parents are like, well, how am I going to keep my child straight if I don't know how I or why I am straight? And so when you hear these conversations about with advocates talking about all these new things, parents get concerned, right? And that's reasonable. And I think the conversations that Ms. King, Ms. Hannah, and the Catherine Florence Initiative are hoping to host or hoping that we have are ones that say, hey, we can have these conversations without tearing each other down.
Yeah.
We can have these conversations in a calmer way, in a less violent way. And we can still use the Bible, right? But we ensure that we are using the proper context. We have the proper context for the scripture when we're applying it. We're sure that we understand the theology, what do they call it, the epistemology, the origin in its translation, that changing the way that we have the conversation can change the outcome.
But I think...
Let me let you all say it now.
But I think you're right, but it's way simpler than that, actually.
Okay.
Don't weaponize the Bible just to make your point. Accept what the Bible says and then move on from there. The Bible is not the thing you should use. You don't get to cherry pick scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the problem that we initially had. You pick one scripture and you ignore the next one just because it doesn't align with what you're trying to argue. That's using the Bible for propaganda. This okay. is a democratic state. Get serious, please. You know, to put it in a young people vernacular.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, only God could use the Bible to enact violence.
Exactly.
Yes, like, ma'am. If you ain't God, then that part ain't for you.
Exactly.
Right?
And also, you have to allow room for people to be incorrect sometimes, because the Spirit of God don't reside in man all the time. God already told us in the Bible that no sin is greater than the next. And when God and sinners reconcile, that's between them. We shouldn't be getting, quote-unquote, sinners reconcile. That's between them. I think this notion that I'm higher than you, and therefore I can tell you, oh, you sound ridiculous or you're wrong, and then you quote a scripture that you know there's another scripture that would counter that point, but you don't want to use
or
that.
Or counterbalance it, right?
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Definitely.
I think I hate when people turn the Bible into to use to fight against the next person with, when both points are valid.
Mm-hmm.
I think it closes down the conversation entirely too much, and I think we can never get anywhere until we talk about these things. Even if you come to the conclusion that you agree to disagree, that's far better than making the issue taboo and deciding it's not worth the conversation because you don't want to get into an argument.
Yeah.
And I mean, far too many people tend to disguise their bigotry with religion. It's a really unfortunate way of the world, and I think that, you know, it goes back to the conversation about what the moral black and white is, and how people tend to weaponize that when things are never just cut and dry.
Mm-hmm.
If you do not necessarily support the lifestyles of certain groups of people, if you're not fully, if you have different views, if you don't necessarily relate to or understand the lifestyles of others, then... But as Christians, we should understand and believe the right to free will. We should be able to acknowledge that although we have our differences, there should still be love and acceptance.
Yeah.
I mean, look.
I like that message.
We are a nation that managed, I love this country. So I really hate how we've made certain things taboo, because we are the nation that managed to get independence without bloodshed. That is a huge accomplishment. We are extremely progressive, more than we like to admit in a lot of ways. And that's not to say that we are perfect, but we are a progressive nation, so why can't we talk about it? If I wrong, tell me I wrong, and then we move from there. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need to be a fight.
Okay, let's go to the caller before I tell you what I think Jesus would do. WWJD. Good morning, caller.
Hi, Ms. Green.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm good.
Good, good.
This is your friend that took you to the car last week in the rain.
Oh, hi. How are you, sir?
Good, good, good. King, few questions.
Okay.
I want to know if a grandmother descends from Andrus.
Miss King, your grandmother descends from Andrus?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Yes, sir. She did.
Which settlement?
Hold on. I know. Master Point?
Okay.
Somebody from Fresh Creek too. I just can't remember.
I see at the beginning of the conversation, so I call a cousin, but she was in the Hana one. It turns out we all cousins.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So, Ms. Green, what would you call Ms. King, or what should I call Ms. King, if her grandmother was my guardie?
Man, stop that.
Well, that's your god cousin. That's your god grand cousin. That's your god grand cousin.
Okay. Now, I will let you go right now, but let me give you a little history.
Yes, sir.
Her grandmother, when I was born, stand godmother for me, right?
Okay.
Now, when she said that Dolly, then that ring a bell, because Dolly is my god sister.
Okay.
And Dolly was one of the first female administrators.
She was the first female commissioner, island. Yes.
What?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yes, sir.
Then they used to live there, you know, where free community churches.
Yeah.
Well, they just live right through the corner there because the park here, they just live right opposite the park.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to let you go now, Miss King. Miss Green.
That's okay.
Miss King. Your brothers don't know me well.
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
the
sir.
The oldest one. And I were on the force together. And he has a security fund.
Yeah.
And every
man, you know the whole family history.
Yeah. And anyway you see me, he stopped and hailed. Then one was a lawyer and another one was on the force.
Yes.
But I don't see them.
They're both
I get to see your grandmother, your mother. And all the brother who got security for him.
Okay.
Well, did you know, Kath? You know Mavi is Catherine?
Yeah, I know her.
107 years old, ma'am. Still living. Still.
July, she turned 107.
July. Still giving us hell. Still stronger than me. And if she could have been here on this radio today instead of me, I promise you, she
okay.
would have.
I will. Your mother has that church here. Off that area by New Covenant.
New Covenant is East West Highway.
It was. We just moved. We.
Oh, right. I said y'all had your church there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Cousin Yoel, we all out of time. I'm gonna give Miss King your contact information.
Okay.
That's okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much, because I would not have known Miss King is my cousin.
Sorry, before we go, quickly, I have a message for you from Catherine from Mavi. Is she listening? She sent a text. She say you must come see her.
You see, she wants me to watch
out. Good cousin. I'm so glad you called.
Yeah.
Put on your shoes and get ready to go.
So there you are, Lou.
I'm going to give her your number, sir. I can give her your number, and she can connect with you, okay?
Okay, shoot it.
Yes, sir, because I don't want me and you get in trouble from God, Granny, Catherine. Oh, Lord, what type of trouble that would be. Ladies, we are all out of time. And here's a text to end the show. It says, Erin, kindness is the only luxury that never fades. Respect should never be reserved for the rich. It defines who we are when no one is watching. And they go on to say, Erin, we are watching you out there in the tropics. Please stay out there. Well, if anybody would like to donate to my Get Erin Out of the Bahamas fund for hurricane season, feel free to message me and give me the money, because I will gladly go wherever y'all send me.
I can join the funny.
You can jump, guys. Have a great day, Guardian Radio. AM with C.A. Newry is done. The news is up next. And then stay tuned. Reverend Dr. Cleveland Enius III is joining us this afternoon. Have a great day, Bahamas.